The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth.
Hey, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast. I'm Sean Walker, Regional Vice President at Mercer Advisors. Thrilled to be back with you again this week and going to dive into a topic we talk about all the time, but maybe not the way we've always discussed it. And that's retirement planning, right? Retirement planning, the hallmark of what we do here at Mercer, and probably why a lot of you listen to our show to understand, hey, am I on track or I am retired? And what do I need to be thinking about? What are the strategies I need to be aware of, right? And people assume when we talk about retirement planning, and even a lot of the folks that I get the pleasure of speaking with assume it's all about numbers, right? In fact, there's whole marketing campaigns for some competitors of ours that are framed around, what's my number? What's the magic number? People ask me all the time, how much do I need to be able to retire? And we often say, well, it really depends, right? We do obviously want to answer that question. We do want to see if your pension, your 401k, your IRA, your Social Security, your assets, your expenses, everything aligns so that you can have enough income to enjoy the desired retirement lifestyle that you want, right? And that's generally what most people think, right? It's math. How do I get what I need to be able to walk away from work the day I want to, and then spend what I want to in retirement to enjoy my life without running out of money before I die, right? And there's a certain element of truth to that. But if you ask any retiree, or if you took a call and talked to some of the families we work with here at Mercer Advisors, they'll likely tell you that that's only half the story. And sure, you'll definitely need enough money to get by, but you also don't have to be super wealthy to be incredibly happy. In fact, there's a really well-done study by a bunch of psychologists at Purdue University who found out that the highest scores of satisfaction in life topped out at an annual salary of, on average, $95,000 a year. I don't think if you asked 100 people if they thought that that was the salary where most people were the happiest, that that's the answer that they would come up with. But money is not only or even the most important piece of a fulfilling retirement. So while yes, we would stress it's critically important you have a retirement plan in place, and it is absolutely essential to focus on, you know, making sure that you have enough money to never worry about going broke or paying for medical care or all the things that are important to you, leaving a legacy, whatever it is that your priorities are in life. Yes, those are critically important. But today we're going to focus on seven other essential tips. Seven happy habits that studies empirically show improve your life satisfaction in retirement. And the first habit we're going to focus on is that of staying healthy. What good is money if you can't enjoy it, right? People know that, right? I'm only as good as my health, right? And the majority of retirees say that good health is the most important ingredient for a happy retirement. The studies show that exercise and a healthy diet can significantly reduce your risk of developing certain health conditions. They help increase your energy levels, they boost your immune system, and they improve your mood. So the tip we'd offer, the takeaway, is it's never too late to get moving and eat right, right? When we work with families here, we often talk to them about what their priorities are, what they want to get out of life, what their money means to them. And one of the things that almost always comes up is, I want to improve my health and wellness. And it's never too late to get started. In fact, there's a lot of research that shows that even those who become physically active and adopt a healthy diet later in life still have the opportunity to dramatically lower their risk of cardiovascular illnesses, reduce their potential death rate, right? And it doesn't take a lot. The CDC recommends that anywhere between 150 to 300 minutes of moderately intense physical activity a week can make a tremendous difference. In a 7-day week, that's not a lot of activity, right? Go for a long walk. get outside, get some fresh air, you know, find something to get that physical activity that can really not only improve your mood, but boost your health and make retirement that much more enjoyable. The second habit that we have found when talking to retirees that enjoy their retirement is they really foster strong social connections, right? That could include hobbies, activities with people we like, right? Expanding your social network outside of that you had within the workforce. Gallup found that happier retirees were found to be those with more social interaction. In fact, what you really want to avoid is that social isolation that can come with leaving the workforce. Let's be clear, most of our working days are spent with maybe our colleagues and not with our friends and family, right? So when you leave that stability of those built-in potential social interactions, you take a risk, right? And you do risk maybe being socially isolated if that was the network you relied on. Social isolation has been linked to higher rates of heart disease and stroke, increased risk of dementia, a greater incidence of depression and anxiety. And often that leads to riskier health behaviors too, to cope with the way you're feeling. So, you know, believe it or not, that low level of social interaction is just as unhealthy as smoking or alcohol abuse or physical inactivity or obesity. There's a real built-in anxiety and physical consequence to being socially isolated. So you really may want to find ways to stay connected, even if it pushes you out of your normal comfort zone. There might be social events at your local community center or library that you can get involved with, or maybe you host a game night, or just get out and get to a movie or a museum or join a book club, right? That, you know, there's a lot of new ways to socialize. There's a lot out there if you're willing to get out. And there's transportation ideas, maybe before you were stuck or secluded, whether it's using one of the driving services or hopping on the local bus, right? Getting out or even doing it virtually, Zoom and Google Hangouts and other things. You can do a watch party or even just engaging with other people can really have a materially positive impact on how you enjoy your retirement. The third happy habit we'd really stress is finding a clear sense of purpose. And I can tell you that having had the pleasure of helping many folks transition through retirement, make some of those critical decisions, and then figure out how they were going to enjoy that time not working. There's this notion of golfing or strolling on the beach or reading a book, right? Those leisure activities are great, but they don't always provide a sense of purpose or meaning. And it's part of a reason why Gallup is finding that nearly 3 in 4 Americans said they plan to keep working beyond any traditional retirement age because they want to, not because they have to, because work is where they find a sense of purpose. So those folks who gain purpose or meaningfulness in retirement find it easier to transition away from work. And that could come in terms of volunteering. It could come from those social interactions we just referenced. It could come from helping people in need. It comes from more than just spending money on yourself. So whether it's donating money or time, whatever it is, it's really critical, right, that you find your sense of purpose. And whatever that means for you, it's going to be unique for each family, each person that's listening here. You're going to find what it is, but do recognize that there's going to be a gap. There's going to be a withdrawal from work. There's going to be maybe a lack of sense of purpose once you move away from a career that you maybe spent 30, 40 of your lives invested in, right? Maybe that's what defined you. It's really important that you realize that that's going to exist and that you find a way to redefine what your purpose will be once you step away from full-time employment. The fourth habit that it's recommended that experts always suggest when it comes to living a fulfilling retirement and being happy is never stop learning, right? Experts really believe that ongoing education and learning new things may really help you keep mentally sharp simply by getting you in the habit of staying mentally active. So just how we talked about staying healthy physically and being active, it's exercising your brain may really help prevent cognitive decline and reduce that risk of dementia, right? Challenging your brain is really believed to activate processes that help stimulate communication between your brain cells. I mean, Harvard's medical school talks about this as saying it activates processes that help maintain individual brain cells, right? So there's real science behind if you keep your brain active, you actually are stimulating the cells within your brain to stay more active. So like exercising your body, your brain requires that constant stimulation. And it doesn't mean crossword puzzles, although maybe that helps, but maybe finding something new that you enjoy. Maybe trying taking a class from the local community college or learning to play an instrument or just getting to the library and picking up a new book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, something that's interesting to you. A lot of top universities, Yale, Stanford, and others, offer free online courses that you might want to consider. But there's a ton of resources out there. There's a lot of good free resources and a ton of activities that you could engage with that'll really help you keep your brain stimulated and help stave off the risks maybe of cognitive decline, but more importantly, keep you engaged just like you're trying to keep your body engaged. The fifth happy habit that we've learned and would recommend and what research says is that happy retirees train their brains to be optimistic. It might seem a little more challenging of all the ones we've talked about so far, but that having a glass half full attitude may have a huge upside, may pay huge dividends towards your overall health, right? Medical research shows that having a glass half full attitude is linked to lowering the risk of developing cardiovascular disease and other chronic ailments and leads to a longer life. So if you want to get the most out of the hopefully long time you have retirement, the research says that being optimistic makes you less likely to suffer from heart attacks and other cardiovascular events and reduces your mortality rate. What better reason than to try to find the positive in what life may throw at you? And it feels like you might be listening to me and say, John, that sounds great and all, but that's just not how I'm wired, right? I don't think that way. I'm always worried about what could go wrong. That's just how I was raised. I can't get over this. And psychologists will tell you, and there's a lot of research around this that says, you are able to train your brain to adopt a more optimistic mindset with really simple exercises that need to be done sort of consistently, but consciously reframing situations in a positive light, you can actually rewire your brain to think positively. And if you acknowledge for yourself that negativity is kind of contagious, right? It's important to understand that optimism is equally contagious. And so if you surround yourself with optimistic people and you take a break from maybe the negative news cycle, you take a break from the things that give you that anxiety, you can actually start to adopt those emotions. So surrounding yourself with positive people can actually help you become more positive and cultivate that optimism in your life. The long-term health benefits are actually dramatic, and it's something that we would strongly recommend. And there's a lot of resources out there, again, to help you reframe that mindset. But if you can train your brain to think more optimistically, it'll lead to a much more enjoyable retirement life. The sixth happy habit that research shows would help you really enjoy retirement is that happy retirees practice mindful gratitude. And when we talk about finding that more positive outlook on life, there's a lot of psychological studies that indicate that people who take the time to count their blessings actually end up having a more positive outlook on life. They find more time to exercise. They report fewer symptoms of illness. And you're more likely to help others, which actually generates more happiness for you. So that idea of taking time to feel gratitude, to reflect, to take a moment and think about what you have actually reduces your need for materialistic things, and it enhances your satisfaction with your life while reducing your desire to go buy stuff, which makes you feel better economically because now you're not worried about what you're spending, right? So it's a cycle that perpetuates, that allows you to better enjoy your time not working. So one of the most effective ways to cultivate that gratitude is by writing, by taking a daily journal, just a few minutes a day to write down the things that you're grateful for. You know, you could do it over your cup of morning coffee, or maybe you're just grateful that you have 10, 15 minutes to have a nice stress-free cup of coffee because you're not racing off to catch a train or commute to work, right? So there are even gratitude journals that you can buy that will actually guide you through this conversation with yourself, right? To help you train your brain to practice gratitude. But the psychological effects of putting gratitude to paper leads to just increased mental and physical benefits. It can increase your self-esteem. You'll sleep better. It can improve your heart health. And it's a perpetuating cycle of happiness. And one of the tips that we would really encourage you to think about as you think about the non-financial aspects of retirement. And the seventh happy habit, it's a kind of a fun one and a personal one to me, is it turns out that having a furry or feathered friend can really, really help you in retirement and have a more rewarding and healthier lifestyle once you step away from work. So owning a pet can help with those needs of companionship, particularly if your social circle isn't what it once was when you were working. If you have one, like a dog, that requires physical activity, it's reported that dog owners who walk their dog at least once a day got 20% more physical activity than those people who didn't have dogs. And it leads you to be more physically and mentally active. In fact, there's research that indicates that dog owners help soothe those suffering from cognitive decline and boost the longevity of the life of the owner, right? Because you have a companion. And maybe a dog or certain other pets are out of the question, either based on your physical capabilities, your interest in owning one, or maybe where you live doesn't allow for it. You could pursue home visits. Maybe you don't want to own one permanently, but maybe you think about volunteering at a shelter. Maybe you foster. Maybe you find a creative way to find that companionship. But regardless, if you're stuck and you're looking for a way out, you want to find maybe a little more connectivity, a different reward, there's thousands of facilities across the country who would love your help and support to help them take care of their friends. It doesn't really matter, big or small, dog, cat, bird, rabbit, whatever it is that makes sense for you. Having that furry companion can really, really help you physically, cognitively, and your emotional and mental health as you navigate what could be a tricky retirement time. So listen, retirement is a major transition with lots of financial as well as life decisions, right? And it's why it's so important to work with someone to create a plan, right? To have a plan that maps out exactly how you're going to get there, how you're going to transition, the important financial things. When do I start Social Security? How do I generate the cash flow and income I need? How do I make sure that I preserve my legacy? How do I make sure that if I have a medical event, that's all covered? These are all critically important, and I'm not discounting them. But I'd really encourage you to work with a team that does unified planning that also incorporates all this emotional stuff as well, that has the resources to support you when you are having a challenging time, that is actually going to ask you these questions ahead of time, because the money is important. But even more important is, what does that money fulfill for you? What purposes does it serve? What does it need to accomplish so that you actually have a fulfilling an enjoyable retirement, so that your life still has meaning? Who's going to challenge you to say, hey, do you really want to step away from work right now just because you can? Or do you want the financial freedom to know that you can walk away whenever you'd like? Who's going to help you think about maybe consulting as an option, or part-time work, or whatever it is that's going to challenge you to really understand how you're going to be happy in retirement and incorporates that into your plan? Right? It's really important, and I'll never diminish the financial aspect of what retirement planning looks like, but don't ever discount the emotional and physical and mental toll it takes when you step away from something that has been probably the primary purpose in your life for 30, 40, 50 years. It's critically important that you address all of that and work with a planning team that has the means to do so. So if you have questions, if you listen to what I said and said, I've never had this conversation with my advisor, I've never thought about this, or I have anxiety and I'm worried about what things are going to look like when I step away because I've always been a doctor, I've always found value in the work that I do, and I'm worried about how I'm going to continue that when I'm not going to work each day, our team is here to help. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us anytime at 855-558-3500. That's 855-558-3500. Or email us at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com. I'm John Walker, Regional Vice President for Mercer Advisors. Thanks so much for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast. Have a great week.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com.